Ezekiel 33. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people. Say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and take not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. So God declares through Ezekiel that if the warning is heard and we ignore it, it's our own fault. We have no one to blame but ourselves. I cannot imagine why someone in this nation especially would hear the gospel over and over again, knowing that it is not our works, our baptism, our church membership, our contributions, but simply our acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, having our sins washed by the blood of His crucifixion, that we can get to heaven, that we can be redeemed, that we can be born again, that we can be saved only by the blood of Jesus through faith, and still say, I don't accept it. I don't understand that. Knowing that there are two places that we're going to end up. Now, one is eternity with God. We say heaven. And the other is the lake of fire. Those are the only two places we can go. You say, well, what about purgatory? Well, that's nowhere in the Bible. But even if you could imagine some place where you would go and purge yourself before you'd be accepted into heaven, the bottom line is this: you must have faith in Jesus Christ or you don't get in. But I'm a good person. Okay. In your assessment, you're a good person. I'm all for it. I'm glad you feel that you're a good person. We all ought to feel that we're good people. The truth is, I know more about me than anybody else does, so I know I've got rottenness in me. But with all the good you are and all the good I am, the only good we can have on Judgment Day is the blood of Jesus. When I stand before God, and this actually talks about that, if I try to stand there in my righteousness, I will be kicked out. But by the blood of Jesus, my sins washed away, imputed. The Bible says imputed righteousness. That means, excuse me, all the goodness of Jesus placed upon me. And I stand before God the Father as the Son, as a believer, as the righteousness of Jesus. My sins washed away. That's how. You know that. And the Bible says if you hear the warning and respond accordingly, you save yourself. But if you ignore the warning, there's no excuse. You cannot stand before God and say, but the preacher didn't tell me. Because right now, we could play this back. You cannot stand before God and say, but I didn't know that was the only two choices. Yes, you do know. You are not good enough. I am not good enough. Only Jesus was good enough, and His blood was shed for our sins to wash all our sins away. All our sins. And that's the only way you're going to get to heaven, is by the blood of Jesus. We have sounded the warning. Will you respond? Because if you respond, He says here, He shall deliver his soul. But whosoever hears the trumpet and takes not warning, his blood shall be upon his own head. Who can we blame? You can only blame yourself. But my college professor told me the Bible wasn't true. You can only blame yourself. But my daddy didn't believe. You can only blame yourself. But my mama told me I could choose whatever and it'd be okay. You can only blame yourself because you know the truth. And the truth is, no man cometh to the Father but by Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Verse number 6. I'm about to get turned on here. Right, we can amen it when it's everybody else, but this verse 6, this applies to us. If the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. What does God say? God says that if we as God's people, we as the church, we as believers in Jesus Christ, we who know the Bible, we who know the black and white, the right and wrong, the yes and the no of God, if we don't tell others, their blood will be upon our hands. People say, well, I don't like people preaching at me. Well, I don't know how to put it without preaching, but I'll tell you this. You can choose heaven or you can choose hell. You can choose God or you can choose hell. Those are our options. We either accept Christ or we reject God. That's the only option we've got. I am sounding the warning. I didn't bring a trumpet. Aren't you glad? We as the church have to sound the warning. That means to our children. That means to our neighbors, parents, brothers, sisters, whoever it is, co-workers. They need to know it's either Jesus or it's hell. It's either God or it's eternity without God. And we can only get to God through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's it. And you can say, well, I'm have a different religion. It doesn't change the fact that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. There's only one. You try to get to God any other way and you will miss. You imagine a space shuttle or a rocket ship. You understand how exact they have to measure that and calculate that to get where they want to go? Anybody ever sight in a rifle? All right, I see some heads and some arms. What happens if it's just a little bit off? Let me tell you, the farther away your target is, the farther away you're going to miss it. If you're just a little bit off, how far is heaven from here? You could be just a little bit off, you're going to miss it. Guys, it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's only when I say to God, I am a sinner, Jesus died for my sins, God forgive my sins, save my soul. And he writes my name in the book of life, and I am secure for all eternity. You say, really, Pastor, that's as simple as it is? Jesus did the hard part. But let me tell you something. If you don't heed the warning, that's on you. But if I don't sound the warning, that's on me. Now, you still die in your iniquity. You still die without God, and so you still go to an eternity without God in the lake of fire. But God will still hold me accountable if I don't sound the alarm. As the church, we've got to sound the alarm. And so he says in verse 7, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Of course, here he's talking to Ezekiel. But we are the watchmen of America. We are the watchmen of Wakulla and Leon and Jefferson and Cairo and wherever you come from. We're the watchmen. That means the people around us need to be told. That means the people that recognize us need to be told. How are we going to get the message out? Well, as a church, we're doing an effective job, but each one of us is accountable. We can't just count on the trumpet that's sounding out from this place. We're the ones that are going in the highways and byways. And there are people that you know, people you can help, people you can lead to Jesus. You know, you're the watchman. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, God says, and warn them from me. Tonight, we're going to talk about eternity, about maybe you'd say heaven. We're going to talk about that tonight. How close do you think we are to eternity? How close? We all prayed last week for that young lady, 15 years old. And now she's in eternity. She wasn't planning that day. Nobody planned that day. We don't know what today holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But I'm telling you this, you could be ready now. You could be ready now. You don't have to wait. It's not a decision to put off. It's a decision to make right now. I don't mean at the end of the service. I mean right now, from your heart to God's heart. Call out and ask forgiveness. Be saved now. He says, warn them. Verse 8, when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Can you imagine going to stand before God in judgment? What are we going to be judged for? Well, I'm not going to be judged for my sin because my sin's washed away. What am I going to be judged for? I'm going to be judged as a steward. God gave me a job. Did I do that job? You have annual reviews at your job? Well, that's going to be the final review. God's going to say, here's what I gave you. Here's what I told you to do. Here's where I directed you. How did you do? And we come there with blood on our hands. Why? Because we wouldn't tell people about Jesus. Why? Because we wouldn't tell them that it's either heaven or hell. It's either Jesus or the lake of fire. Why? Because we wouldn't tell them that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. It's already. Will we make the warning clear? If we don't, that blood is on our hands. But here's the sad thing, is when we're standing in heaven as stewards with blood on our hands and we realize that that blood was somebody we love. That blood was somebody we knew. That blood was somebody we worked with. And while they are committed to the lake of fire for eternity, their blood is on our hands. That I stand guilty before God of not telling my friend, that person I love, the people I knew at work. We may not have been fishing buddies, but I didn't want them to go to hell. So did you tell them about Jesus? Blood on our hands. Verse number 9, nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. We can't come before God with no blood on our hands. Why? Because we did our part. Because we told them about Jesus. Because we told them that God so loved the world that he died for me. Because we told them the way of heaven, the way of salvation. Verse number 10, therefore, O thou son of man, speak to the house of Israel. Thus you speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sin be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Here's my question. Why? Why do we want to continue in a life that is destroying us? Why do we want to continue to embrace sin when we know that sin is destructive? Let me let you in on a little secret. If sin didn't hurt us, God wouldn't be against it. How many of you encourage your kids to play with snakes? What about snakes that are non-venomous? You won't let your kids play with snakes? No? Why not? Because you don't want them to make a mistake and get the wrong kind. Right? Oh, it's just a snake. We taught them how to play with snakes. No, they grabbed the wrong kind. That's trouble. We teach a kid not to touch a grill. Even when it's not hot, we say, don't touch that. Why? Because if they get used to touching it every time they walk by, one of these times they're going to walk by and leave their fingerprints. We teach them to avoid it. Then why would we teach them to embrace sin, play with sin, and date sin, and run around with sin, and hang out with the devil? Why don't we show them the right way? Why don't we show them the right communication and the right behavior? The way of God, the way of salvation. He said, why would we pine away in sin? Why? How can we live that way? Blame everybody except our behavior, except our actions. You know who's going to stand before God and give an account for my life? And I got news for you. God's not going to ask you about my sin. And God's not going to ask you about what I've been doing. He's going to ask me about that. That's how it works. Verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Did you see what he said there? He's not pleased by the wicked dying. God's not pleased by people suffering. But what? Look at what he says. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. God has one desire, and that's salvation and repentance of all. He wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to be in heaven. God wants all of us to have our sins washed away. God's not taking pleasure in crushing the wicked. What the Bible says. That's not God's pleasure. That's not what God wants. Turn ye from your evil ways. Do you see that there in verse 11? Somebody tell me what it says. It says, turn ye, turn ye. He reinforced it. He repeated it. Turn ye from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Let me ask you a question. If you continue on the course that you're following right now, where is it taking you? Where are you going? Life getting better and better? If not, it's time to make some changes. If it's not getting better, it's time to make some changes. It's time to choose the right thing. It's time to head in the right direction. Why, he says, why will you die? Why will you die, O house of Israel? Why are you killing yourself? Every one of us can look at a friend, a loved one who's suffering in addiction, and we can say, oh, you've got to straighten up. You've got to quit that stuff. That stuff is destroying your body and it's destroying your mind. But you know, they probably could look at us and find something in our lives too that's destroying us the same, maybe not as obviously. Guys, we've all got room to improve. We've all got room to grow. Ezekiel says, by the Spirit of God, turn ye, turn ye. Verse 13, when I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. What's he saying? He's saying, if you're doing right and you turn back, guess what's going to be remembered? You turn back. Verse 14, again, when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned to him. He has done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Hey. What's he saying? He's saying there's some unwritten chapters of your life. How many of you have already looked at the last page of your life? No, we say, I read the back of the book and God wins. Okay, I get that. But what about my life? What about your life? What's that last chapter all about? What are those last couple of chapters for some? We're still writing that. God says, be careful what you write in that last chapter. You say, oh, God's not coming back. I've got plenty of time. I can run around and be crazy and wild and sinful, and it's not going to make a difference. But here's the thing. You don't know when that final page is going to be printed, and it may come out sooner than you think. No matter what, guys, we don't have pages to waste on riotous living. We don't have pages to waste wasting time. We better be writing those pages wisely. Look at what he says in verse 17, and we're almost finished. He says, yet the children of thy people say the way of the Lord is not equal. As for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not equal. Oh, you house of Israel, I will judge you, everyone after his ways. Individual accountability. Individual accountability. As we are writing those chapters, I know we don't like to think about how close we are to the back cover of our book. But the truth is, the pages we're writing right now are going to set the tone for the rest of our story. Ezekiel says, of course, God through Ezekiel says, if I give you the message and you don't share it, I'm holding you accountable for it. But if you share it and they don't do anything with it, that's on them. Guys, you can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. We can't force people to trust Jesus. But we can tell them about a Savior that loves them. We can tell them about a Savior that died for their sins. We can tell them that there's only one way to heaven. Oh, that's narrow-minded. One way. Doesn't matter if they think it's narrow-minded. God said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. One way. It's not the Baptist way, it's the one way. It's not the Methodist way, it's the one way. The only way. It's up to us. As we're writing those final pages, let's make sure there's something in there about telling people about Jesus. As we're writing those chapters of our life, let's make sure there's something in there that matters. But here's the thing. Don't forsake the work of God because you think you're close enough to the end of the book or because you think you've got a long time till you get to the end of the book. I'm going to stand before God and give an account. So are you. Have you put your faith in Jesus? Would you stand? Right now, from your heart to God's heart, you could say, God, I know Jesus died for me. I put my faith in you. I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. You know, God will save you. He'll write your name in the book of life. He'll give you the assurance and the hope and to give you a home and eternity with him. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Not by works lest any man should boast. By grace through faith. I'm telling you, and I'm telling you that God told you to tell others. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the Savior. Tell them about salvation. Tell them about eternity. It matters. Won't it be exciting to stand before God one day with no blood on our hands because we took the message seriously? Nobody on our conscience because we told them. Now, whether they accept it or not, it's not up to us. You could present it in such a way where it'd be acceptable, but the decision is up to them. If you sound the warning and they turn from their wicked way, they shall save themselves. If you tell them and they don't heed the warning, you have saved yourself from standing before God with their blood on your hands. Father, you use this time to make a difference in us. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your opportunity to come. Would you come now? Got a burden or a need, something to pray about? I'll pray with you. But you can pray right where you are and get to God. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I'm ready to give my life to God. I'm ready to follow him. Whether that be in salvation or whether you're ready to take the next step of baptism. God has given us a commission. He has given us direction. Tell others about the Savior. Warn them. Sound the warning. We have no excuse. Thank you. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?